She stared down at the dead mage, suspicious, but at the same time fairly convinced he was as tame as he seemed. He was unexpectedly pathetic there, yet seemed to think her a fellow mage because of... were? What had the little quith done that had suggested that? Catching her features and smoothing them into blank placidity, she fought hard to keep from laughing. Nothing the quith did had changed the situation. No, it was his mere presence. Or more accurately, what his presence seemed to imply. Mages of all sorts kept these little pets, magical entities to heighten their own abilities, didn't they? And were appeared to be hers. Well, that was amusing enough, and clearly he was less of a threat than his echoing spells suggested. Rising, she dropped his wrists and carefully stepped off of his coat, still mistrustful the air around her might explode and thunder again. She kept her eyes on his now normal face. He had quickly dropped the illusion, rot and boils vanishing into those pale, gaunt lines. He seemed genuinely baffled by the whole event, still struggling to pull himself together. Dusting off his coat as he rose, he looked about himself, making sure he still had spellbook and components. Those pouches of herbs and materials always fascinated her. The Bossarine mages often bartering for rare goods to be picked up on a delve. What they needed, the why and how of pulling fire from nothing, weaving illusions or distorting reality, was all very strange. Give her good, trustworthy shadows over bat guano and sulfur any day. Shadows always listened, and they never went bad. Well, Deathwake accepted. As he searched to make sure all his pieces were in place, she carefully retreated to where she had dropped her walking stick. When it had fallen, she couldn't say, the focus of combat pushing everything else out. Fortunately, it wasn't too far a walk, and she was able to keep an eye on the mage. Disorganized, yes. Unsure of himself, certainly. But also, not much of a threat. New to the study of the mysteries of existence, and just skittish, apparently. Both back in the rough state they had been in before he had launched his ill-timed offensive, she eyed over the ground and found the path they would have been on. Stomping back to the middle of it, she waited for him to approach, noting the strange wobble in his step. Up close, the limp was clear, an old injury that had damaged tendons and the knee joint. A slight pang of guilt struck her as she realized his weak leg was the one she had stomped. His fault for attacking her, but still, that would only exacerbate the wound. You stable enough to keep moving? Probably should get further along the path. What? Oh, quite right. I suppose we should be moving along, as you are less of a danger than previously presented.
Presented? I was walking in the same direction.
Walking? I've been running for the better part of the afternoon. You appeared behind me, and suddenly you'd have the distance. If that wasn't aggressive, I don't know what would be.
That caught her off guard, and she reassessed the figure's stride. The limp was still present, but he didn't look nearly as drunk. That would explain the strange staggering, but that pace, she hadn't even been jogging. No pressure, no effort. She was swift, but that seemed a little absurd.
You move slower than I thought.
Well, another few and we'll be settling in, I suppose. In your state, you'll continue on through the night?
Oh no, not at all. The Ascendant Octet left me the morning before, and I had hoped to catch up with them this evening, but it seems I may have been left and fully neglected. I'd rather have other targets on the way north, if you catch my drift.
With his wordiness overwhelming her thoughts, Her mind had started wandering until targets passed his withered lips. Suspicions immediately flaring, she glanced over, though not in the most subtle fashion, apparently. He caught the look as their steps fell into pace, and seemed to realize his phrasing.
Well, targets like me, I would think they'd follow you like they do me. The cats are pretty rare in these parts. I mean, all parts, really.
They?
Oh, Myrtal, they're all so curious, so forceful. It's best to hide behind the welcome of the ancient automata. Keep the good graces between the old friends, right? They try to keep our few kin safe while in the old port city, as hospitable as it used to be oh so long ago.
I can't say the other siders ever cared much for me.
Oh. Well, I suppose perhaps it is one more bias against those of us who are posthumous. There are so few good, respectable sorts left in this world. What pray tell brings you but we are stopping now, aren't we? Here, at least I can do for all the previous cacophony.
With that, he reached into his pouch a second and flicked his fingers, a small, thin bead of red arcing over just a few feet from her. Her eyes went briefly wide as she started shifting away from the spell. As the bead hit the ground, a wisp of fire swirled out, a hint of what was to come. This is final episode of Wake of Dust, of the Fatal Neutrinos and the Kalmyra Saga. Thank you for listening. Things have been a little rough lately, but I do plan on continuing, and I'd love to hear from you. Twitter, email, fatal.neutrino@gmail.com. Instagram, please reach out. I'd love to talk more about the stories or anything else you're interested in. Thank you. This is Easton. Remember, I'm as much a work of fiction as anything you hear.